Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 132nd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include dancer Cheryl Burke. We'll talk about the new season of Dancing with the Stars on ABC with her partner, Cody Rigsby. We'll also visit with legendary drummer Carmine Appice. We'll talk about the Appice Perdomo Project, their album Energy Down Overload, which was just released on Cleopatra Records. We'll also visit with Perez Hilton. He has a new business venture, My True 10 CBD Gummies. We'll also talk about the Perez Hilton podcast with Chris Booker. We'll also visit with singer, songwriter, and musician Chris Jagger. His autobiography, Talking to Myself, and the album, Mixing Up the Medicine. We'll also visit with country singer and songwriter Dave Herrera. Friend of the show, we'll talk about his new single and video for Hella Country. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and check out the shop. And of course, we'd appreciate you sharing it with your friends. Now, have you started your holiday shopping yet? And no, that bag of Halloween candy you already ate doesn't count. A new poll found that 16% of Americans, or around 1 in 6, have already started shopping for the holidays. Another 14% plan to start in October, 28% said November, and 15% won't start shopping until December. That includes 3% of Americans who won't buy anything until the week of Christmas. Men are twice as likely as women to wait until the last minute. Dancing with the Stars, one of our favorites. And speaking of our favorites, we've got Cheryl Burke on the line with us as well. And Cheryl, always good to visit with you, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Now, Dancing with the Stars being back, I mean, what does that mean to you, maybe professionally and personally, for it to be coming back after all we've been through, my friend?
Well, you know, I've been on, this will be my 24th season, so it's been definitely a big part of my life. My little sister put everything into perspective the other day. She's like, you've been on this show since I was 11 years old. I'm like, oh my goodness. So it's been definitely a huge staple in my life. I've been not only a part of it, but a fan as well, and I've met so many amazing people that are now very close and near and dear to my heart. And also, just on a professional level as well, it's fascinating to me that ballroom dancing has lasted, I guess, in like Hot Topics and like primetime television, I guess you could say, for 30 seasons. You know, I definitely came here from New York as a competitive ballroom dancer and then thought I was going to come back after one season, right, into my career as a professional dancer. Didn't think I was going to be a professional dancer on Dancing with the Stars for this long. So I am, you know, it's with deep gratitude, honestly, and that I'm still even a part of a show that like this. I mean, it's unheard of to have a show go on for 30 seasons.
That's right. And with the successes that you've had, I guess one of the accolades you have not received would be like the Dancing with the Stars Hall of Fame. I mean, is that something that's going to be in the works, Cheryl?
I better. I think I've done like, I think since Monday's episode, it's funny, my reps said that I've been on the show now for 314 shows, I think was after Monday night.
That's impressive. Now tell us about Cody, what your thoughts were with him coming in and where you're at now in the competition, how comfortable you feel with his levels.
You know, it's great for me to dance with different personalities, I guess. I pretty much, before Cody, I could say that I've danced with pretty much everybody you could think of as far as personalities and occupation goes in the Hollywood industry, right? So I've had my share of athletes, I've had politicians, I've had actors, you name it. But I've never had a Peloton instructor, so this is definitely a first. And Cody has been so much fun. He's a breath of fresh air. You know, he's kind of new to the Hollywood scene. I wouldn't say he's new to fame because I think he's definitely famous in his own right when it comes to, you know, nowadays, right? Like when I started Dancing with the Stars, there was no such thing as social media. So let's put everything into perspective for me as well. It's just like, wow, this whole world has changed and we all have evolved in a way, right? And Cody is definitely more of the relevant, I guess, celebrity when it comes to stuff like that. So I'm grateful to have someone who takes things lightly but also works hard. He understands what that means. He's he has a little bit of dance experience himself. And as a dancer, if you're trying to make that as an occupation, you better have, you know, discipline. And with discipline comes hard work and tenacity. And he definitely has all the above, but also has fun. So it's great.
And Cheryl, what's been the hardest thing to break with Cody? I know ballroom dancing, you have to break so many things. Hopefully no appendages, no arms, legs, or anything like that. But what is maybe the things that had to be broken in his mentality, dancing mentality, if you will?
I've always said that it's actually a lot more challenging for people with dance experience to join a show like this, because you come on, you have bad, in our language, have bad habits, right? So it's like in ballroom. Ballroom's a different beast. It really is. First of all, you're not dancing alone. You're dancing with somebody else. Height difference. We have a huge height difference. He's 6'2", I'm 5'4", but, you know, I also dance with Rick Fox, who is 6'7". And that was the start of my arthritis. No, I'm kidding. And so with Cody, you know, it's definitely difficult, but at the same time, it also works to your advantage because he has musicality, right? If you can count a beat, that doesn't change from ballroom, except like maybe the way you count. He understands presence, and he's definitely a performer. Like, I feel like when we did it live, our tango this past Monday, he was his best time that he ever did it, right? So I think that is what you have. The same thing with like JoJo as well. Like, you know what it means to turn it on when it's lights, camera, action. Like, you go. You know, some people may want to find the nearest exit instead. You know, who knows?
Now, where do you see yourselves as the season continues on? I mean, do you set the sights real high early, or do you just kind of measure them out throughout the season?
One step at a time, really. It really is, because this is a long journey. And if you are already setting your eyes on that Mirrorball trophy, well, you know, you've got a long ways to go. This show is really take it day by day.
Now, Cheryl, of course, folks can always vote after the show on Monday night's the show, and then they have until 5 a.m. the next morning to get the voting in. And, Cheryl, I want to make sure, if folks want to know how to vote for Cody on Monday night, I want to make sure they vote for you guys.
Yes, make sure you text Cody, and I'm going to get this number right now. Here it is. Text Cody at 21523. Vote for Cody Rixby. I think you have 10 votes per phone line. There you go. So take as many phone lines as you can possibly take.
That's good stuff. Well, Cheryl, always great to visit with you. Continued
thank
success,
you.
And we're waiting on the Hall of Fame announcement.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Now, if you have trouble sleeping, there's a military trick that's supposed to help you fall asleep in 2 minutes. Now, it's more meant for airplanes and long car rides, but it works in bed too, and it's all about relaxing muscles one at a time. Now, here are the four steps. Number one, relax in your seat or in bed. If you're sitting, put both feet flat on the ground and your hands in your lap. Then take slow, deep breaths and focus on relaxing every muscle in your face. Let your forehead, cheeks, mouth, and jaw go limp. Number two, relax your upper body. Let your shoulders drop and relax your neck. Then, starting with your dominant side, let your biceps, forearms, hands, and fingers relax. Number three, same thing with your lower body. Tell your thighs to relax or just think it. Then move down to your calves, ankles, and feet. Do one leg at a time. And number four, clear your mind for 10 seconds. Just like meditation, focus on your breathing. You should be asleep or close to sleep by then.
He's played in a band or two, got a new project, the Apis Perdomo project, to talk about. We've got Carmine Apis on the line with us today. And first, Carmine, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
All right, no problem. And that Apis Perdomo project, we're calling, nickname it, the app. All right, so you tell everybody you got to get the app today.
That's good stuff. Now, how did the whole Apis Perdomo project, how did the app first get started, Carmine?
Well, basically, it was a phone call from Tom Dowd's family. You know, Tom Dowd passed away, and I knew Tom Dowd for a long time. And they said there's a guy that Tom was going to work with before he passed away that wants me to play on a couple of tracks of his new album he's going to put together. So would I be interested? And at the time, I just made a studio, I put that together in my house in Florida. So I said, yeah, I would love to talk to him. So he called me and we talked, and I said, well, look, why don't I send you a track from my iPad that I wrote, and it's instrumental, and see what you could do with it. So he sent me back the stems, and I said, wow, this sounds great. And I put drums on it. Then he had a guy, this guy named Zach, who would mix it. So when I heard the finished product, I said, wow, this is really good. Let's do another one. So we kept doing it back and forth. So we had like 18 songs done. And then I put a deal together with Cleopatra Records. And we picked 12 songs. We'll have 6 left over for the second album. And part of the songs were Do You Think I'm Sexy? Done as a jazz rock reggae instrumental. It's pretty wild. And then we did Maybe I'm Amazed, a guitar instrumental with me and him. We put this woman's background, gospel background voices, like a folk gospel choir, and she used to sing with Pink Floyd.
Wow.
So that sounds really good. And the other 10 songs were original. And we've done things from that he started with a click that I'd play on, and we'd rearrange it. I sent him some drum parts and just the whole drum stem for 3 minutes, and he would write a song to that, and then we'd rearrange it and cut it up and then redo the drums and stuff like that. So a lot of different ways we worked, but in the whole time we worked, we never had an argument. Very easy to work back and forth with both of us. And he's a talented guy, really a talented guy. He plays bass, guitar, and keyboards.
Now, Carmine, for you this last year, I know this is a classic example of a COVID project. And for doing this project, I mean, how has the music changed for you? Has inspiration on music changed? Maybe the beats that you're hearing? Have you been hearing some new sounds, if you will, over the last year and a half?
Well, yeah. I mean, like this whole album with Fernanda was a total awakening, I should say, because... You know, we were doing all this progressive, prog stuff, all these weird time signatures and, related. Me being an educated, classically trained drummer with, being able to read music and knowing all time signatures and note values and stuff, I was able to incorporate a lot of that crazy stuff in this music where you'd have, like a 6-8 timing and I'd be playing up-tempo against a 6-8, and it makes it really... different, and we were able to do a lot of that stuff and just play around and have a good time with it being creative, where normally, you don't do stuff like that, when, like we just did Vanilla Fudge, Stop in the Name of Love with Tim Bogart on it.
Right.
That was a typical Vanilla Fudge arrangement. There's a couple of little time signatures in there, but not like that lasted for the whole song. Our songs go from 4-4 to 7-8 to 6-8 to 9-8 sometimes 6-4. These are all the time signatures, but the melodies that are on top of it sound great. They really, really sound great. Very memorable melodies that he put on top. And sometimes I wrote the melodies on my iPad that I sang, and he would take that what I did and put it on guitar and do harmonies and maybe with the keyboard or whatever. So it was really a unique, fun experience to do this record. And now we're working on the internet. Obviously we couldn't have done it without the internet. Mm-hmm. Doing another album with King Cobra for Cleopatra. Same way with on the internet, so...
Now, Carmine, how has learning to do things remotely, how has that changed the game for you moving forward? I know, like I said, you got 6 tracks already done, about halfway to a second album. How has this opened doors moving forward?
It makes it a lot easier. For instance, like the Vanilla Fudge track we did, we recorded all together in a studio. When we put Tim on it, we realized that the drums had too much leakage in it. I had to recut the drums, which means... If I didn't do that in my studio, I'd have to come to New York, go to the studio in New Jersey, get the drums set up, get the drum sound, go through the whole thing. It would take a whole day just to get all that done, and then maybe I'd have the drum track by the nighttime. But now, I just walk through my garage, studio's there, I turn on the computer, the drums are there, they're already mic'd up, already got the sound. I could do a drum track in an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I could punch in and out, and I'm engineering. This is the first time I've ever had an engineering credit. I got a kick out of that when I saw the credits on this album. So it's much easier. Much easier. I already put some drum tracks down and sent them to Paul Shortino, the singer of King Cobra, in Vegas, and him and the guitar player are going to be working, and the guitar player put a bunch of riffs to those tracks that I sent them, and then Paul did vocals, and we wrote a song like that, And all I did was, it took me 10 minutes to put that drum part down, So it made it easier for me.
That is awesome. And again, the new album, Energy Overload, get the app, a piece of Perdomo Project. And Carmine, want to make sure and let our listeners know where to find more info, not only about the album, but the band and social media as well, sir.
Yeah, we have a piece Perdomo Project Facebook, and we have my Facebook, Carmine Peace Official, and we got Instagram, Carmine Peace. Twitter and all that stuff, commentapeace.com, so all those places. And, again, all these stories that I've been talking on the radio, most of them are in my book, Stick It, My Life is Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll, that can be gotten at my website, commentapeace.com, autographed and personalized. And also, you can get it at Amazon, too, but and obviously it's not autographed then. But, but I'm having a great time, I'm doing all these different projects. I got another 30th anniversary box set of my Catharsis project coming out in November. That's on a different label, but it's got, that album has got everybody on it. Brian May, Slash, Yngwie Malmsteen, every named guitar player except Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, and Clapton, but everybody else.
Wow.
Pretty much on there.
That's good stuff. Well, Carmine, I truly appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, sir. Looking forward to checking out the entire album, spending some more time with it, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, sir.
Okay, man. Go out. Take care. Remember, get the app.
Tiger King 2 is coming to Netflix before the end of the year, and Carol Baskin is not happy about it. And when Carol Baskin isn't happy, people disappear, right? Well, Carol did not take part in this one. She says the director said they wanted to clear the air about how she was treated in the first Tiger King, but she told them to lose her number. She adds, quote, "There is no explanation for such a betrayal and false portrayal. If people want to know the actual truth behind the big cat crisis in the U.S. and how it all started, they should be demanding to see The Conservation Game, filmed by Michael Weber. His film answers the important questions that Tiger King glossed over." Netflix isn't saying much about TK2 yet, but obviously Joe Exotic could only participate from behind bars.
Social media influencer, and we've got a groundbreaking innovator as well, Perez Hilton, with us. First off, Perez, always great to visit with you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Happy Friday. We made it through the week.
Thankful for that, and I know that you've got a new project that you've been working on, My True 10 CBD Gummies. And Perez, how did you get involved on the CBD gummy side, if you will?
Very organically, and I think that's the best way for something to happen, something that you really believe in, that you really use, that really has helped you or I don't know, like maybe not helped you. Some people, if they start a business or something, it's not necessarily about helping you or helping others. It's just providing a function. But CBD really helped me last year because I have 3 young children. I have a now 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an almost 4-year-old. And I'm a single dad. We were homeschooling. I was severely going through it in so many ways in 2020 because of the pandemic. And I did 2 things, one bad, one good. One of the bad things I did last year was, in a moment of weakness, I put up an Instagram story asking people to send me some peanut brittle. I don't know why, but I did. So I had all these people sending me peanut brittle. Then a few months after that, because it lasted like a month and a half, I had that much. I gained 33 pounds
wow.
last year in 3 months. It was not cute. Then I said, you know what? I've got to get it together. I've got to turn things around. So I decided that I wanted to try CBD. I had never even tried CBD prior to last year. So I put up another Instagram story saying, if anybody wants to send me some CBD, please do. And CBD is unregulated, so it's kind of like the wild, wild west. You don't know what you're going to get. I realized quickly that oils were not for me. I'm not a fan of CBD oils. They're disgusting. It's just not for me. Then most of the gummies, like, I don't feel anything. Like, what am I supposed to feel? What's going on here? Then some of them were good. And then I found this one company that was leaps and bounds better than the rest. And I really felt it. It really worked. It truly helped me. So much so that I told my manager, we need to do something with them. We've got to reach out to them and partner with them. And we did. So we fine-tuned, improved their amazing products even more. And that was really the birth of My True 10, my new company, mytrue10.com. People can go check us out, get more information. It's very transparent. We're third-party tested. Our lab results are up on mytrue10.com. And people can get it for as little as $10.
Now, Perez, how much have you had to delve into the learning side, the scientific side, and how impressed are you by what you've taken away over the last year just of delving into the project, if you will?
I mean, I've learned so much about CBD, not just from, you know, CBD itself and the manufacturing. You know, we're made in the U.S., made in Nevada. But I've also learned the hard way that now, being a co-owner of this company, because CBD is not, you know, FDA approved for this, that, or the other, you know, we cannot make any claims. So it has been challenging for me to communicate to my audience, you know, I cannot share my own personal experience with CBD, but I have been sharing, and I'm almost afraid to say what people have said. But if you go on my website, or if you you know, you go on the web on my Instagram, I've been sharing reviews that our customers have given, saying, "Oh, I took it for this, and it helped me this way." You know, my partners are very cautious of not getting a big fine from the FDA. Because, you know, they don't want to, we can't make any claims. I cannot personally make any claims. That's been stressful.
How hard is that? Is that the hardest part of the whole process, Perez? Keeping quiet, is that the hardest part for you?
That really is the hardest part. But thankfully, when I realized that, I was like, okay, I mean, there's only so many other ways I can mention it's great and it's affordable. The people then started buying it, and people started to comment on our post that bought it. And I'm like, thank you. So I've just been getting screen grabs of people that have commented that they bought it, and I know they bought it. I can verify the names, and I've been sharing the screen grabs. So that's a great way. You know, yesterday I shared a woman who had one particular reaction or benefit from CBD. So being able to share how others, it's affected them, has been a wonderful thing, because I can't do that for myself.
That's right. And again, Perez, I want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can find more information about My True 10. And then, of course, all the socials where they can keep up with you as well, my friend.
Yeah, mytrue10.com. And I'm OCD, so I bought both spellings, you know, the number and also spelled out T-E-N, mytrue10.com. And you can follow me all over social media or listen to my podcast as well, the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker. We talk about everything pop culture. I'm sure that next week, I'll give you guys a preview, next week we'll be talking about, because I have some interesting thoughts, next week we'll be talking about both Netflix announcing this new Britney Spears documentary, and Netflix also announcing a second season of Tiger King, which I don't know if it's a good idea. Just well, because I feel like even if they deny it, I know that Joe Exotic guy got paid. I don't think he could technically get paid while in prison to do this interview, but I'm sure his lawyer got paid somehow. And, you know, I feel gross knowing that this convicted criminal serving time for some serious crime is profiting off his crime.
That's right. So check out the Perez Hilton podcast, a great episode coming up next week as well. And Perez, always great to visit with you, and hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
You can get away with not returning emails for a few days, but we expect people to respond to text messages a little faster. So is this rude? A new poll found that 43% of Americans currently have unread texts that they're ignoring, and most of them aren't spam. The average person has 47 unread texts, and 56% of those are from friends and family. The other 44% are from brands, companies, or scammers. And here's a few more stats from the survey. Number 1. Unread emails are still far more common than unread texts. 2/3 of us currently have unread emails in our inbox. The average is 1,602 of them. Number 2, 32% of people said they have 0 unread emails right now. Number 3, texting is still the fastest growing form of communication. 51% of people say they're texting more than they were a year ago. Number 4, the top people we enjoy getting a text from are our friends and siblings, followed by our parents. And number 5, the number one person we don't want to get a text from is our boss. But the poll also found that texting people at work is much more common than it used to be.
Got a memoir, got some new music to talk about as well with Chris Jagger. And first off, Chris, I appreciate you taking some time out of your traveling schedule.
Well, lucky is the day off. We've got about 9 gigs in 10 days. So, and it's the first gigs we've done for ages because of COVID.
That's cool. Now, we talked about the memoir, the autobiography, Talking to Myself. And Chris, tell us, where did the process or the interest in putting the story together, when did that first come to fruition for you?
Well, I've done a fair amount of writing, but mostly journalistic short pieces. So I've dabbled a little bit in my own writing. And it's been on the cards for a while. And then, you know, you're sitting around talking, shooting the breeze and stuff. People say, you should write a book. It got to the point where so many people kept saying it. I thought, okay, well, I will. But it's a big commitment, because writing a book is not like just going out and playing a gig or making an album. Like, I took a year off, basically, to write a book, which I did without a ghostwriter or anything. So, I did about 10 revisions. So it's quite a lot of work and a commitment, because, you know, you want to do it justice. So, you know.
Now, Chris, in the process of writing the book, was there a moment where you were like, you know, maybe folks were really onto something, and you found the specialness, if you will, of what you were putting out?
Well, I had a principle, which was I wrote in the morning. And if I couldn't get in there and start writing till I felt kind of good. I didn't want to do it like it was a chore, like I had to do it, like, you know, I was forced to do it, or then, because I didn't think the end product would be worth reading. And you got to figure that it's got to be entertaining, it's got to be revealing a little bit, and it's got to be truthful. So, you know, you've got to do that. You know, you've got to do it justice. So I would do that in the morning, and then the afternoon, I'd play a bit of music, because you know what musicians are like, they're kind of junkies, they go out for a fix to play music. So that's kind of where the album came out, so the two kind of dovetail quite nicely into each other, the album and the book. And I even got a track on the album called Talking to Myself, because I thought, well, I'm writing this book. I'm going to write a song about writing the book. And I think that may possibly be a first.
Now, for you, what was the hardest part bringing both of these together? Or maybe how surprised are you to be able to release both in a time like we've been living in these last couple of years, Chris?
Well, it kind of was. I did the record before lockdown because I took 2019 off to write this book. I said I wasn't going to do gigs, but I did do some gigs. But I just wanted to concentrate on that. And so then me and my buddy Charlie Hart, that I've been playing music and known for 50 years, we started putting this record together. Then the end of 2019, we went in the studio and cut it. So it's cut with musicians in the studio, you know, live. It's not done like, you know, all remotely. I couldn't bear that. And then we did some overdubs early in the next year, put some horns and stuff on, and then we more or less finished it up. And then there was just the sort of final vocals. Well, that was during sort of lockdown. So I did every single vocal myself, all the harmonies, the bass parts and all that, which was really good fun. And there was one track I wanted to get my brother to sing on something. And I finally nailed him down. He was in Italy, and I sent the stuff over there, and he finally got it together to sing with me, because, you know, I figured that, you know, with families, you got to try and keep them together, so you got to keep in contact. So it's all very well keeping in contact, but you got to do something, you know. So the thing is, my brother sings music, so the best thing for me to keep in contact with him is doing music with him. So I'm the driver of that one.
That's right. Now, Chris, always want to make sure and let folks know where they can find more info, not only about the book, the album, upcoming dates that you've got coming up as well.
Yeah, well, I'd love to come to the U.S. As you know, it's pretty tricky and pretty expensive getting over there. And so it's kind of got a plan ahead, and it's, you know, I'd love to come. We got this COVID thing. I mean, I'm just in Switzerland right now. The first gigs we've really done for 18 months.
Wow.
And it's kind of a surprise to find yourself on stage talking to people and playing music. It's, you know, want to keep it going. And I just love to come back over to the U.S. because I know I'm going to run into a lot of people that I've met before and some new people. And the thing about musicians as well as other artists is they thrive on sort of meeting other, you know, meeting up,
right,
and all that. And, you know, it, of course, governments and immigration people and all that, they don't want that sort of thing to happen. You know, we can't have that kind of thing happening. That's terrible. So we got to get around all that stuff and, you know, be sort of totally legal. But it all takes investment. And, you know, if you're a big band like the Rolling Stones or something, it's not a problem. But the small guys, it's tough. You know, for the little old folk singer coming from Scotland to play in some festival over there, it's, you know, it's going to be hard. So, you know, I'm on the side of the small guy myself, but I'm definitely looking forward to coming out and meeting up and playing and, you know, maybe even reading some out of the book or whatever, because, you know, look, I'm 73 years old. Don't know, you know, I won't say it's going to be the last time, but making the record, I just got the feeling that the guys on it, especially like my contemporaries, they want to give it their absolute best shot, because you never know. Could be the last time. But you want to go out with as good as you can get and sort of prove you can still cut it, you know, no matter how old you are.
That's right. Again, the autobiography is Talking to Myself, the album Mixing Up the Medicine. Chris Jagger, it has been truly a privilege to have the chance to visit with you. I truly hope you have great travels and enjoy the upcoming shows as well, sir. Thank you for your time.
Merci beaucoup.
If this stat is for real, a large chunk of Americans must be bummed when they don't have to go to work the next day. 43% of Americans claim that they're in their dream job right now, or at least one of the jobs they wanted as a kid. Another 19% said that they used to have their dream job but don't anymore. The average person was 7 years old the first time they knew what their dream job was, and here are the top 10 things we wanted to be as kids. Number 1, a doctor or nurse. Number 2, a lawyer. Number 3, an actor or actress. Number 4, artist. Number 5, teacher. Number 6, singer or musician. Number 7, scientist. Number 8, dancer. Number 9, athlete. And number 10, writer. Now, a few more that ranked high were computer programmer, veterinarian, pilot, business owner, and astronaut.
Our next guest on the show, a friend of the show as well, Dave Herrera. We've got a new single to be talking about, Hella Country. And first off, Dave, great to see you again, my friend.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And gotta love Oklahoma. Really appreciate it. So, doing well back there.
It's been a little bit since we spoke last. I know that you've got all kinds of social media things going on, and the video of the single as well. We want to talk about that a little bit, but I guess first off, let's talk about the inspiration behind Hella Country, where this one came from for you.
Well, it's just, we have a small family ranch back here, and I'm always constantly taking care of it. There's always something that needs to be done, right? Whether right. it's fixing water pumps, pressure tanks, field work, fire breaks, whatever it might be, we're always working on it. So I looked at everything that was going around me, and it's just hardworking, just blue collar, roll up your sleeves, neighbors and people in the community. So they inspired me, basically. So the song Hella Country was inspired by those that just roll up their sleeves and do what they can to provide for their families. That's the bottom line.
And for you to pay homage or tribute to that, as what's it like to get the feedback from folks after they first heard the song?
Yeah, they really appreciated it. They also really appreciated, and there's people that reach out from other states that say, hey, I'm living through the song. I mean, I see it, I eat it, I breathe it. So, but those directly around me were just, they're thankful that we filmed it in our community, and that it was speaking to those folks in the community. They were very thankful, which was cool. It meant a lot to me.
Since we spoke last time, I've seen several of your videos online, and tell our listeners where the idea for the videos and all the social interaction, where that came from for you.
Well, it's all based on true life stories. I mean, everything's from a true life story, but the videos we do a little differently, it seems like. So you guys got to check it out. I mean, sometimes some people are like, you guys are going overboard with it, but we want to make it interesting, and it might be too interesting, but if you watch the Hella Country video, like midway through there's a guy, Mason, that's in there. I mean, they're playing a guitar, and then there's a dude, I'm not going to mention who he is, playing with a horse head, but that's the flavor we have. You know what I mean? Some people are like, why would you do that? And we're like, we want to put something in there that just makes it interesting. But we try to incorporate family and friends in the video. We try to incorporate, our culture where I'm from. And so people can see that. And we try to tell a story about each of the songs in a creative way through the video. So we really appreciate if you go check out the videos on YouTube, and help support us. So we appreciate it.
That's right. Now this summer, we haven't spoken since this summer. How much different did summer 2021 look for you as opposed to 2020?
You know, 2020, we were lost in a dark hole. I mean, we were constantly trying to dig out by like writing and come up with creative ideas for videos and stuff like that. And there was no end of the road. It was just a dark path, it seemed like. Now it seems like there's light at the end of the tunnel, and everyone's starting to come back out. But 2021's been a lot different. It's just getting out and sitting at restaurants. I mean, really appreciating that. The interaction with people has been great. One thing we don't like is traffic. I mean, traffic is picked back up. It's kind of nice to drive around on the roads and not have anybody to put on their brake lights in front of you. So, but 2021's gotten a lot better than 2020. So hopefully it's the same way for other people out there as well.
I know last time we talked, I asked about how pandemic affected the songwriting. Now the question is, how has the stuff you learned during pandemic, now that things have opened up, has it made the writing a little bit easier because you maybe had to search so hard before?
Yeah. I mean, it's always hard to come up with writing. It's just when you get that burst of energy, you're like, oh, I got an idea. And then you just try to go after it. But yeah, to 2021, I mean, obviously with all the interactions going on, there's more things to do and less time to sit there and think. It seems like we're getting back in the rat race a little bit more than we were last year. So it's trying to balance those again. It's a little bit of a challenge, but we're making it work.
And I know you do a lot of your own production work as well. How have you noticed yourself growing? Where are the places that you see yourself growing the most?
You know, that's a good question, because I've been learning a lot since we've released the first single out to country radio, and working on these videos and working with PR firms and stuff. And it's really, And people that are listening to the songs, giving feedback. I mean, looking at everyone that gives a comment or gives feedback, I like to see what city or town they're from, what state, and just really appreciate the comments. So it allows me to kind of understand who's appreciating this particular song versus the other song, mm-hmm. et cetera. But we've been making changes. On a production team, Jeff Balding in Nashville has been phenomenal. He's a producer, co-producer, and he helps with all the tracks. But we start out writing. I'll write at the house, and then I'll get together with my co-writer, Corey Coppin. And then we have a studio here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And we'll do most of the production stuff there on tracks. Then we'll send it off to Jeff. And there's been occasions where we'll work on some light production here and then send it to Jeff and then go back and forth on it. But it's been a learning curve, and it's been great. I mean, it's been wonderful, but it's not an easy journey. So we're going to keep fighting and writing and just having a good time.
Now everybody knows about a Bakersfield sound. I've never heard them say a Sacramento country sound. So is that what you're trying to develop here? Is that Sacramento country? Is that what you're going for?
Good question. I don't know what my sound is. I just go with it. I just roll with the punches. I'm not trying to develop anything. Yeah, that Bakersfield sounds phenomenal. I mean, the Nashville sounds great. All the music's great. So I'm just doing what comes to the heart, what comes to the mind, and just rolling with it. So it's just me laying it out there for you to see.
Yeah, that sounded like a politician answer. I figured we were going to have to bring babies in, do some hugging and kissing on some babies after that kind of an answer. Just love everybody, right?
I don't know. I just rolling with it. I just love music in general, but I don't know. I guess it could be a Sacramento sound. I mean, you have a Devin Dawson. He's from Sacramento. Tyler Rich, right outside of Sacramento. And then John Party, he's from Vacaville, which is 30 minutes from Sacramento. So, but they all have different sounds for the most part. So I don't know, just my own style, I guess.
That's cool. Now, how has the goal setting for the remainder of 2021 and then going into 2022? Obviously that's shifted from what you were leaning into 2021, right?
Yeah, totally.
A little more hopeful.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful. So we just released the single Hella Country. And I mean, we have stuff sitting on the back burners, but we're going to release more stuff early next year. And I'm thinking about releasing a holiday song, more of a country rustic holiday song here in the upcoming weeks. So I'm hoping it doesn't jive. Maybe you can help me with this, but hopefully it doesn't affect the Hella Country and confuse people. But it's a fun tune. And I think I want to send it to you once it's like wrapped up, just to get your honest feedback on it.
I would love that. Now, what is too early to start decorating? You start talking Christmas. When is the cutoff? When's too early to start decorating?
Too early for me. Well, you know, we do a little bit of the Thanksgiving stuff, obviously. First off, we're big on Halloween. Mm-hmm. So we go to Home Depot and Lowe's or whatever, and we pick up new Halloween decorations each year, the blow-ups. So we'll do that probably 2 days before Halloween. And then leave it out there. Cause sometimes if we do get rain or if it's a big wind or whatever, we want to make sure it's still intact, but we'll do Halloween and then we'll take that, rip that down the day after Halloween. And then we'll do a little bit of Thanksgiving stuff. So I would say too early for decorating on Christmas. I don't know if it's too early for anybody, cause it's kind of a fun holiday for some people. But for me, we'd probably do it maybe a week and a half in advance, get the tree set up. Yeah. Start decorating some of the interior stuff.
Well, me and my wife, we were in, I'm not going to name the store. We were in one of the stores the other day that they have already gotten their Christmas section out and we're already starting to buy stuff. And I told her though, we're going to wait November 1st, not before November 1st. That's when we're going to start decorating.
Thanksgiving or Christmas? The Christmas?
Christmas. Mm-hmm. We'll have some Thanksgiving stuff intermingled in there a little bit, but yeah, Christmas. Yeah. We do a full 2 months. She'd do it at 12 months if I'd let her.
We have family that do that as well. It's just, I mean, we'll do lights. Like, and I usually, the problem is I usually leave my lights up until after New Year's. Too lazy to rip them down. It took so much work to put up.
Yeah, last year we took so long and we left stuff up until I think like the second week of January before we took all of the big stuff. And I forgot to take the lights down, and I think it was June. And when it came in and I was tripping over a cord and my wife's like, I think it's about time. I think that was telling you it's time to pull the lights down.
I have this little routine on putting the lights up, man. And it's not an easy task either because we have this gutter that comes down and I have to get up there and kind of pull a big bundle of the lights through the gutter in order to keep the screen going, man. It's just a pain in the ass, but and I figured out I've got this little stick mechanism that I use to sift through it and then hang it on a hook. And that's finally been a lot easier because we have some bushes and trees and things that are against the house that make it just a big challenge.
When you're young, you think it's so much easier. I remember when I was like 19 and 20 thinking, oh, this is going to be simple. It took me 20 years to feel like I know how to decorate now. So there you go.
Do you put stuff on your roof as well or just around the eaves? Because I tried the roof thing.
Yeah, I'm too old to get up on the roof.
Yeah, I tried the roof thing and I just ran some lights on the roof 1 year and that was the last time I did it. I'm like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, one and done.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, Dave, as we lead up to Christmas, you got the single going on. How has live performances, have those started picking up out where you're at as well?
Yeah, they're just now picking up. We're actually rehearsing right now. So we're getting all the rehearsing together and preparing. We'll do some shows later this year.
Cool.
Maybe late October, early mid November. And then we're going to kick it up next year. So we're putting that together right now.
That's cool. Now, again, the single Hella Country and Dave also want to make sure and let folks know where to find the video, find all the socials so they can get to know you a little bit better as well. Where's the best place to find all that info?
Well, you can go to Dave Herrera Live. That's Dave, HERRERALIVE.com. And there's links to the videos there. All the videos are on YouTube. So you can search Dave Herrera or Dave Herrera Live on the YouTube to check it out. And then you can listen to all the songs on whatever streaming platforms you guys listen to.
All right. Well, Dave, it is always great to see you, my friend. I appreciate you taking some time out of the schedule to be on and I look forward to catching up again real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again. Really appreciate it, Cameron.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 132nd episode in season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook, all at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, tumblers, mugs, stickers, and more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, email me gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend.